The Burrows of Berea is a conversational podcast.
We study the Bible and we talk about it.
Not all of us are of the same faith.
And one of us doesn't have a faith.
But we still love one another, and we're going to continue to talk about these things.
The things we believe in and the things we believe about what we read in the Bible. Not all of these are necessarily true. Some of it is opinion and speculation. Thank you for
listening and speculating with us.
There you go. That was good. Yes.
You are listening to the Burrows of Berea.
Well, welcome back to the Burrows of Berea. I am Rick Welch, and there is literally no one in the studio with me except Andy Rocketman Bishop.
I'm not even in the same room, so go ahead and fart it up all you want.
Listen, bro, I do it anyway. I don't even care. We have several people that are out. And then we got so low that I told everybody just to chill because there were some things that I just wanted to chat with you and also just to bring up apart from the group.
But we haven't done one of these like one-on-ones in a long time.
Yeah.
A long time.
Yeah, it's kind of a continuation actually from where we were before, which I'm not going to remind you. You'll be able to jump right in because the first topic that I want to cover is the burden of proof.
Ooh.
And the burden of proof.
Opinions.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I want to hear. So since we've been in here, you know, we're on our fourth year, we've talked about the Bible and we've talked about things that surround the Bible. We've talked about all kinds of cool things in here, archaeology and, you know, astrology. And we've covered so many different things, different types of eschatology. We've got into protology. Like, we've gotten into all kinds of things.
Just straight up history, which you can't talk about the Bible without talking about just history.
Exactly. Exactly. But one of the things that keeps coming up to me is that the burden of proof is on me.
Well, not you.
That's what people say to me.
The burden of proof is on the person making a claim.
Right.
Yeah, if that happens to be you, then that happens to be you. But yeah, if you're making a claim, generally it's because you cannot disprove. You cannot like disprove a thing. You can only prove a thing, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the invisible pink unicorn, right?
Yes, right.
There's an invisible pink unicorn in this room. You can't see it. You can't touch it. You can't smell it or interact with it in any way. But it's in this room,
right?
Like, you cannot disprove a thing. There can always be a, well, so it's on the person making mm-hmm. the claim. Also, it's just kind of rough to be like, prove to me there's not an invisible pink unicorn in this room. It's
yeah, exactly.
It's a delicate, but they're not delicate. It's a difficult position. You just can't do it.
So the question I'm going to ask you is going to be a tough one. I don't even know that you can answer it.
Probably not.
I don't know that you can. Coming from the Christian perspective, Andy, with all of your brain power that you have, how would you go about trying to prove the existence of God?
I
know that's a tough question, but I'm just saying, if you were to think outside the box and you were coming from my perspective, what would you do?
I mean, I would not rely on the pure existence of God to sell the idea of Christianity is mm-hmm. what I would do. I would rely on the idea of good works and the positive effect and the communal aspect of it, right? Mm-hmm. Because you can't, I'm a bad source, right? But you can't really prove the existence of God. I'm not sure it's doable, and I'm trying to keep that separate from the question of whether or not a supreme being actually exists. But crap, I just lost my thread. And my brain power is used up.
Sorry, I got you at the end of the day. It's my fault. You've been working all day.
What was I saying before I got sidetracked by a... I would definitely focus on the positive aspects of Christianity in a sale. I wouldn't... A sale, air quotes. It's not a sale, but you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. If I was trying to explain to somebody why they should be a Christian, I wouldn't... And that's just me. Maybe that's not the tack, but I wouldn't point to God and say, because there's a thing in the sky. I would say, look at what this does. This is a sense of community. This is a sense of guidelines and morals that we can all get behind and yada yada yada, et cetera, et cetera. Because there's, you know, there's a lot of good that comes with a organization like that, and there's a reason religiosity.
Yeah,
it's not a word. Exists.
Bill Mayer made up words. Religious.
Religious. Ooh, I like that one. There's a reason that belief in a general sense, not of a specific thing, but in a general sense, is so pervasive, is because it is, in some ways, a societal good. It is a bonding societal good. Mm-hmm. If it were me and I was trying to get somebody to come to church, it wouldn't be God that I was focused on. It would be church.
Mm. Yeah. So having the community.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the only thing. I'd say that strictly because that's the only thing that's ever tempted me. Mm-hmm. Right. Just the nice community, you get to meet people, and you know, the shared values helps you bond, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing that's ever been tempting to me about religion, is just like, go to a church, meet cool people, you know, make new friends, Yeah, it's great. Yeah. Community is so important.
It really is important. Yeah. And and I appreciate you saying that, as far as your honest take on, hey, this is what would be intriguing to me. And I think that that is intriguing to a lot of people that are in churches, whether they believe or they don't, is that they do have that communal aspect to it. It's sure. Really, it's important.
Their friends are there, whether they met them before or after starting. Mm-hmm. And you know what I mean? And
And that's why people who can disagree about, like in Christianity, people who can disagree about specific doctrines can still be a community. They, you know, not all of them can. We've learned that difficult truth here, but we've also found the other side of the coin, which is that people can. You can be in a church. I've seen people that say, you know, I didn't believe what the pastor was talking about this week, but it didn't stop them from going to church Wednesday night. You know what I mean?
Like, sure.
There was still the community and the faithfulness to that group that people make. So let's take it a little bit further. Which is always where we go to, but what about just existence in itself? I guess we always come down to, it's like maybe one of five different arguments in regard to existence, mm-hmm. You know? Maybe there's more than five. I mean, I don't know, but I'm talking out loud here, that the very fact that we do exist says that something started somewhere, something began somehow, or at least for humanity's sake, it did. Mm-hmm. We know historically that the dinosaurs roamed the earth before humans did, and you know, how did they get here? And is evolution really what, you know, is that just a theory, or are they proving it?
It's not the word theory. The definition of the word theory in the context of something like the theory of gravity or the theory of evolution is not the definition that you're using in your head when you're saying, is evolution a theory?
Yeah.
Right? It is the thought idea of evolution. It's really well proven in a lot of cases. It's mm-hmm. It's very well researched. It's not like an idea that doesn't have a bunch of tons of information backing it. Just absurd amounts of research has been done mm-hmm. on evolution. And you can even see it in shorter scales on some things. You know?
Yeah. And I've done my fair amount of reading, you know, in regard to it. I mean, I would agree with you. I'd say there's a lot of information out there.
The problem people have mm-hmm. is a human inability to understand the time scale.
Yeah.
Because you can say this took millions of years, but it just like it's not like a this person can or this person can't. It's like humans, we can't deal with that. Mm-hmm. The large numbers, that doesn't make any sense. We know a million is a million, but we don't know how many that is, short of saying it's one more than 999,000 or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, so the time scales are so absurd that you cannot grok it. You can't do it. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure a human can't really understand. There's a part of us which anything over 150, 200, I don't know what the number is. It's just kind of a lot.
Yeah.
And then there's like more lot, mm-hmm. you know, so.
The time, like, that's a great point. Have you ever watched one of those awesome like time lapse videos?
I love it.
Where they film a tree and they show its entire time from budding in the spring all the way till the time that it dies in the winter. And it happens in like a 5-minute span of time, you know, but you're just watching all these things. You're seeing in hyperspeed a bird land and you know, hyperspeed a squirrel, and then the colors start to change and then things start to wither and then things start to fall and you see the wind, and it's 5 minutes of something that took months.
Right.
And if we were to sit there and watch it every single day, you know, we wouldn't even notice the things, the changes. How many times have, you know, we not noticed our own changes and we look in the mirror at ourselves, you know?
God, I blanked. I blanked when I was about 25.
Yeah.
Now I'm 46.
It's wild, isn't it? Yeah. I had someone come to me and say, look, the burden of proof that God, that there is a God, is on you. You're making the claim that he is. I'm saying that he isn't. So show me. Right. And that's always been one of those arguments that you have to go, all right, this is obviously a belief that I'm stating from within, that when I look at the existence of things, the reality that I perceive, that I believe that it was a God that did this, that was a creator of these things. And some will say, no. I believe based on our whatever evidence that we have, which is, I don't know how much evidence. I mean, I really don't know how much you can trust in regard to
the beginning of the universe.
I really just don't know about the evidence. I think that it's best guess efforts. They use math. They use science. They use physics. They use a lot of different things to try to determine it to the best of their ability. I know some people like Neil deGrasse Tyson think that in time that they will be able to prove it. It's just a matter of getting there, you know, getting all of the information.
I've said this on a different podcast, but with the new space telescope, the James Webb Space Telescope, they're seeing things, because of course light takes time to travel, they're seeing things that are very far away, so far away that what we're seeing is billions of years old or something. I'm making up numbers. It was a very long time ago. And the structures are organized in such a way that couldn't have been that organized if the universe started where we thought about when we thought it started 2 years ago, right? So it's sort of in the process of like disproving the timeline of the scientific timeline of the origin of the universe. Mm-hmm. And I'm not surprised, because I'm not sure how you get something from nothing. You know, there's always been a problem with the Big Bang and that whole like, okay, so there was a singularity. Mm-hmm. What made it pop?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's a problem. That's a problem, an undeniable problem with that theory. So no big surprise. Very exciting, as a matter of fact, to find evidence that disproves something like that. Super fun. But,
yeah, I can never remember the guy's name. It's like Miyako Kikuchi or something. He's the Japanese astrophysicist. He's got like the gray hair, long gray hair. You ever seen that guy?
I know who you're talking about, but I'd have to see it.
And he had said, and I think I've mentioned this on a previous podcast, he had said that all the textbooks are going to have to be rewritten because of everything that the James Webb Telescope has discovered.
Yep.
Yeah, so the Big Bang, based on the timeline, the idea of the Big Bang, no, but the timeline of the Big Bang, yes. That's the only difference.
Based on all of the zero research I've done about this exact thing I'm about to say, I don't think there was a Big Bang. Yeah. I don't think there was a beginning.
You think that it always was?
Kind of. And now there might be some sort of weird, and I'm not sold on this. Don't think like I believe this. But there might be some sort of weird like black hole, you know, white hole thing, or some sort of cycling that can happen, multidimensional something. I'm rolling my eyes so hard right now with the way I sound, because again, that's just wild guesses. Mm-hmm. But I do have a problem with things beginning.
Yeah.
A problem that, for the record, isn't erased by the existence of God. Mm-hmm. Because then either they began or existed forever. So beginnings are...
Yeah, the noodle cooker.
Right.
We've talked about that so many times, the noodle cooker of what is eternal. Like you just said a minute ago, we can't even conceive of millions of years. So let's conceive of never beginning and never ending. I mean...
Yeah, totally.
You know? So that to me is where, when we start getting into conversations with, in regard to, like you said, church, the community, I just had two people that I know very well, that you know, died.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, it is what it is. And it happens to all of us. We all know people sure. that are going to die, and eventually we will as well.
Except me.
Yeah, you will live forever. Or like Ricky Bobby said, look, with the kind of money I make, who knows? You know, I could live to be what, 300, 400? So I guess when those kind of things happen, when a person that you love dearly dies, if they are a believer, then in their mind, let's just scratch Christianity. Let's just talk about other religions as well. All of them have something to say in regard to death and life. And you have some that believe that reincarnation is a reality. It's a thing.
Those are the great mysteries, right?
Exactly. But when you have people that are believers in Christianity, and we have a set of, it's not really rules. It's not even guidelines. It's what we call, you would say, the revealings, the things that the God revealed to man in their time about himself, that the idea of an afterlife, something that goes beyond this, was a, you know, there's a comfort that people will get when they know it, that, hey, it doesn't end here. I mean, that, you know, that comfort.
Yeah,
that some people don't have and some people do.
I am such a, I don't know what the right word is, the idea of living forever in any capacity that I can imagine, not that attractive.
Yeah.
that's terrible, but it's true.
Yeah, I mean, you wonder, you know, what exactly is it? I mean, even Christians cannot really define for you what that is. You know, what is the eternal life like beyond this realm that we're in? We have some glimpses of it in the scriptures that tell us that, you know, there's like a joy unspeakable to it. It's mind-blowing. And also, from the New Testament perspective, it's something that even our natural bodies cannot inhabit. It cannot go there right. without changing.
Sure. Yep.
It has to change. It says that our corruptible bodies, these things that will die and that will go into the ground and cease to be, that they will change into a new body that can handle it.
That can handle eternity. I've said this before on podcasts, but are you even you if you lose your body? I mean, half of you is just chemicals.
Right.
That are, you know, that happened because your stomach.
Yeah.
Because
you just drove right down to the point.
You know?
You just drove right down to my point. What is you exactly? And
what is you separate from the meat?
Yeah. What is you separate from the meat? So the Bible talks about it. It says that thing that soul and spirit, the soul being the life breath that God gave in the scriptures, and the spirit being that personality, that spirit of the person that was made to hold on to that soul and that it goes on, that idea, according to Christianity, is the person. The person that lives here, that does whatever they do, is different. It's a new creation. It's not the same.
Yeah. It would have to be. Right?
Yes. It would have to be. But so we've talked many times in here, you know, about the beginning of things and the noodle cook and the eternity. And the reality that I've come to is that if the burden of proof, if I'm sitting in a room and someone places the burden of proof on me, the only option that I can rationally think of is that existence itself is the proof for me. That he exists, rather than it being something that just never began as a universe that doesn't care, I guess. You know, like the idea of care is a big thing for me, that it mattered. Matter matters. Matter matters.
Matter matters.
There's another t-shirt.
Matter matters. What was Sarita's the other day?
Flipping tables and taking names.
Yeah, flipping tables and taking names. Yeah, yes. That's not bad. It's not bad.
Matter matters. You know, the idea that my burden of proof.
My
saying is that existence, for me, I've just come to the, I have to say, existence itself is the proof of a creator for me.
I feel like at some point, and I think this is very hard for people, for believers, because belief is so difficult in the first place, mm-hmm. that like a lot of people feel like any chink in the armor is like going to be their entire undoing or something, or maybe they're just too used to having to defend their ideas. Mm-hmm. So admissions like this are very difficult for some people, but a lot of times the best thing you can say is just like, look, I don't know, but this feels right to me and mm-hmm. it works for me. And this is my best effort at interpreting the truth out of what I see. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go with that, even though, no, I can't prove it.
Yeah.
You know, that admission seems so hard for a lot of people. Because I know people believe, but there's nobody that's never had a day when they're like, look at the sky, like, what if not?
Yeah.
You know, there's not, that's, it would be inhuman to not have.
Question that.
Not question that. And that's, mm-hmm. I don't think that makes faith any worse. As a matter of fact, I think it makes faith weaker.
Yeah.
That the lack of that admission, it's like you're embarrassed because I don't have a ready metaphor.
No, you're right. That's exactly what it is. It's embarrassment because you it's almost like you're being caught with your pants down.
Yeah, and you just like, but you can relieve yourself of that by being like, no, I can't prove it. But you know what? It really just, that's what I feel. That's what works for me. And then nobody can ever come at you again from that angle because you just be like, yeah, you're right. I can't prove it. But still, it is where I'm going because this is right for me. It seems right. I believe this.
Yeah.
Just take that away from people. Take that away from people.
Right. I mean, so have you ever heard, I don't know if we've ever done this in this room. I think we have. But have you ever heard the Bible's definition of faith, like what
no.
the Bible says?
No, I don't think so.
So here's how the Bible defines faith. It's fascinating because you, and I'm going to read it in several different versions, okay? So let's start with the KJV. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's the definition of faith.
That's great. That's super poetic.
It really is. And then, so let's use the ESV and let's see if it's any different. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen.
King James Version has a win there.
It does. It's got a beat.
It's got a win.
So how about we try the Young's literal translation where they take the words.
This is fun. This is a fun little game.
Yeah. And faith is of things hoped for, a confidence, of matters not seen, a conviction.
Huh. That's good. It's not as poetic as the KJV, but I feel like it does a good, I feel like it's a good definition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that is an excellent definition. And it says here, it says, by faith we understand the ages to have been prepared by a saying of God in regard to the things seen, not having come out of things appearing. That's the literal translation.
Do that one more time. Sorry.
And I'll go back to KJV on that.
I was like trying not
this
to breathe
Young's
loud.
This is literal.
Yeah. I feel like I'm breathing loud today. Sorry.
It says, by faith we understand the ages to have been prepared by a saying of God in regard to the things seen, not having come out of things appearing.
Wow, that's...
I know. It's like, how do you even reconcile that? Let's try the KJV.
This episode is brought to you by Carolina Cases. Are you tired of compromising when it comes to protecting your valuable firearms?
Yes.
No. Well, okay, fine. I'm cool with firearms. I just don't have any. But I can see why you would want to protect them, right? So let us tell you about Carolina Cases, your ultimate destination for hard plastic, impact-proof pistol cases. Carolina Cases are TSA approved and are crafted with high quality foam, ensuring maximum protection for your firearms during transport or storage. At Carolina Cases, they understand the importance of safeguarding your investments. I can understand that. I have investments. I just don't have firearms. Carolina Cases provide unparalleled durability, keeping your pistol safe from impact and damage. So hop on over to www.carolinacases.net to explore their wide range of pistol cases designed to meet your specific needs. Don't settle for less. With Carolina Cases, you can ensure your firearms are safely stored, preserve your peace of mind, and protect what matters most. So go to www.carolinacases.net and then enter code Burrows at checkout to receive free shipping. That's B-U-R-R-O-S at checkout to receive shipping. Thanks, guys. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear.
That's a little easier on the head.
Yeah.
It's still obtuse, but that's easier on the head.
Yeah. So, in other words, when it says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the substance of that, it almost makes it material.
Yeah, I like that. Again, it's very poetic. The substance of things hoped for.
Yes.
That's good.
Yes. And the evidence of things not seen.
Also works, yeah, they're just fine, yeah.
So when we go back to the very first part of this discussion.
But it is rhetorical. To be straight, it's the evidence of things not seen.
Uh-huh.
Is like it saying you believe because you believe.
Like saying the pink unicorns in the room.
Right. It's a little circular, but it is poetic and beautiful.
Yeah. So, for us, you know, on those that choose to believe, that's really what it comes down to. And I've asked people, and I think I may have even asked you this before, but. When I say, what would it take? You know, okay, you don't believe. What would it take for you to believe? And I've had people respond, he'd need to show himself to me.
I don't think it needs to be that extreme for me. But if in an obvious and undebunkable way, magic happened, like some sort of magic.
Yeah.
That would be a strong first start. It wouldn't have to be the revelation of, you know, a blinding God or something. It was just strong evidence, like obvious evidence, not of things that literally just break physical law.
Right. No. Well, like a miracle?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, like
a miracle.
Jesus and walking on water, but us getting to see people walk on water.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Something that.
Like, don't say you did it in the first century. Tell me you can do it now.
Yeah, yeah.
Because otherwise it's just like reading other stories.
Right, right. Because you go back that far, and I know some of the Bible is obviously historical, but I mean, it's so long ago, and then there's tales people tell about. There's all sorts of religions have all sorts of fantastical ideas and claims about stuff, you know? It's just, but we, as people, we pick the fantastical things we're willing to accept and reject the other fantastical things, and that looks pretty arbitrary to me.
Yeah. So the Apostle Paul wrestled with this very thing too, and he says, I'll use the KJV since it is so much more poetic, in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, it says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. So what Paul is saying is that God has manifest himself in his creation. That's what I was telling you earlier when I said the existence itself for me is the proof that God is, you know. And that is something that I assume that I have always known it in me, who I am. But I also learned it, both. And I'm not really sure which one, the chicken or the egg. But I can tell you that I came to a place in my life where matter matters, and things that mattered, the caring of the thing that was made, became incredibly important to me as an individual. And so I suddenly was like looking at the world with a whole new set of eyes. I wasn't looking at the world as you and I have defined chaos. There is no such thing. It's just a matter of order over long periods of time.
Yeah.
But
things you can't see influencing things you can.
That's right. But the idea that things matter, that this existence matters. Because I was very, I don't know why I could never escape that darkness feeling whenever I was, when I didn't think God existed. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a big problem for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
That is a brick wall.
And why would you say, like, for yourself? Why? I'm just curious, man. I have no agenda.
I'm
just talking about this you.
Yeah, yeah.
I love you before, during, and after, so you know that.
I mean, you kissed me when you walked in.
I did, right on the cheek. I almost said lips, but.
I thought you were going to go for it, and then you were like, no, I can't devote to this.
I can't. I'm not. No, I love you, but not that much. Jeez.
We found the limits of the Rick's limits. Love.
I'm studying what it means to give a person a holy kiss. That's in the Bible too, and I don't know what that is. But I think it's when they kiss each other on both sides of the cheek.
Yeah, probably some. I don't know. Yeah, sure.
But anyway, back to what we were saying, you know, that darkness that I couldn't escape, that I suddenly, the light that I use the light and the darkness, because that's what we do, right? Darkness is bad, light is good. But the light bulb that came on was that if things don't matter, then how does that play out?
Things do matter though.
Yeah, exactly.
Things do matter. I mean, you know, if you have, you know, family or life or people you care about in any way, shape, or form, and, you know, a place in society that you like and stuff like that, things don't matter to some people, but mostly human life, you know, things matter to you. Yeah. And that doesn't get rid of the problem that you're describing. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you just, I don't know. I think looking for the sort of meaning, the sort of big meaning that people are looking for, I think the question is absurd. In my head, I just see the question. I'm like, that's ridiculous. Why am I here? It doesn't need an answer in order for life to exist. That's a question. That's a framework we're imposing on a thing that just unnecessary.
Yeah, I can tell you this much, just from my own personal observation and experience. A lot of the atheists that I know, they live their lives. And that is a weird thing to say.
I'm doing it wrong.
Yeah.
I work too much.
You do work too much. But hey, you got to make ends meet. You got to do what you got to do. But the thing is, I see them, they live their lives. And what I see in a lot of Christians, and I mean a lot of them, not all of them.
We're going to have Sarita phone in the minute you're done with this statement.
Yeah, exactly. Because she she lives her life. She really does, to the fullest. She does. And she gets involved, and the things that matter to her, she gets out there and makes it happen. So I can't say that about her, but I can say that about some that I know.
Sure.
Which is, they don't live the life. Let me say it this way. The atheist will live the life the way they want to if they can.
Yeah, sure.
Whereas the Christian will have a desire to do something and will not do it simply because the book tells them that they can't.
Right. Not because it is de facto hurtful in some way, shape, or form.
Right.
Right.
And that is, but at the same time, you know, if I have this conversation with a very devout Christian, you'll find that some people are completely fine with that. Like, yes, there are things. Yeah. I have limitations, and those limitations have been expressed to me, and I didn't agree with them when I was younger, but I agree with them now. You know, not because it's been beat into me, because my experience in life as I've gotten older, I realized I'm glad that I didn't just do the things that I wanted to when I was in my 20s.
Wow. That's a difficult question when you get to the point of, now I'm glad that I don't do them. It's kind of one of those, you know how, like, every time somebody, you know, kind of got their ass kicked growing up, and then they grow up and then they're like an advocate of ass kicking.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of like the same thing. If you can't assign value to these experiences, then it means you've wasted time and yourself, and at some point you kind of get so invested that you can't admit to it.
Right.
It's not a conscious thing. I don't think anybody's thinking that at all.
Yeah,
ever.
Of course. Yeah.
But it is, you know, that's kind of the way we work. We assign value to things in order for us to not feel terrible about things that we can't control.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe I'm talking bullshit, but
it
seems like
it. Look, in some of the greatest debates between atheists and Christians, it always comes down to the foundational principles of life. We've talked about them in here when we did our, you know, pre-studies for Hebrews. We talked about in our conversation, you know, how do we reconcile morality and things like that, you know, and they say the atheist cannot reconcile morality because they have no foundation for it. If we're all just a bunch of brain fizz, why does this brain fizz matter than the other brain fizz? Well, it doesn't. But we all know that that's not true. And they say, well, you're borrowing from a presupposition that's been planted for you by the Christian. But, you know, I find that to be a very weak argument. And the reason that I do is because I think, as far as the argument's concerned, I still believe that God did this. You know, I still believe it.
Sure.
But I think that the argument is weak because I think that within humanity was planted these things. Whether it was by the self-generating, never-ending universe,
sure,
humans came out with these kinds of things, and it developed herds and ideas,
sure,
and, you know, truths that we all try to hold to. And the ones that are errant on those truths, we would call criminal, for example.
Sure.
The ones that we say killing each other is bad. Well, you can't say that because where did you get that from if brain fizz is brain fizz? And I say that's a weak argument. We all agree, you know, the ones, most of us do anyway, that, you know, murder is bad. Like we see that. Well, what about the people who think that murder is good? Well, they're outliers. Most of them are outliers.
Yeah. Or, you know, lost to history when we were incredibly more barbaric than we are now.
Right.
As well, so.
Yeah. And again, like you said about time and how long things are. I mean, I have no idea my ancestry. Like my great grandmother was a full-blooded Crow Indian, from what I understand. That's what I've been told. At least I just learned this back in October. I always thought we were Blackfoot, but then I hear that we're Crow. I don't even know if that's true. I have no clue. I've never done a DNA test.
People have legends about their own family that aren't always
true. Yeah, but I can
see. That Democrat that got caught up in that, she was like, that blonde lady was running for president a couple cycles ago, and she was like, she said that she was partially, you know, Indian or something going back, and somehow, like, it got disproven, like she did a DNA test or something, and they made fun of her mercilessly.
Oh, really?
Mercilessly, because she was a blonde lady that was like, I'm part Indian. But it was just, you know, I'm sure it was just some family lore that got, you know,
disseminated
to her along the way, and she just ran with it. She was super proud about it. And then so when it got in one way or the other disproven, people just destroyed her. It was,
Yeah. Well, place ad here.
Thank you, Rick.
Well, anyway, that I think that now that you guys have an email, just so you know, I'm going to go ahead and throw these emails out for everybody.
Oh, cool.
Rocketman@burrowsofbrea.com if you want to get to Andy. TheEdge@theburrowsofbrea.com.
For the people that have wanted an email. Some people just didn't want to deal with it.
Yes. So.
And I don't blame them one bit.
Yeah. BigDaddy@burrowsofbrea.com and Rick@burrowsofbrea.com. I don't want to use Podfather. That's not mine. There's another one out there. Ricky Gervais is actually the Podfather.
Is he?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I didn't know that was borrowed.
It's another Ricky. Yeah. Anyway, so, you know, guys, if you do want to send emails, you can to those email addresses.
I've said this before already. I may or may not respond, depending on 1,000 things. It has nothing to do with you or what you said.
Right.
Don't take it personally if I don't respond.
Yeah, yeah. What it boils down to, guys, I guess after almost 4 years of doing this, is that there is no proof that I'm really able to give. We've had people share testimonies about how God changed their lives, and they believe that with their whole heart.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And we've seen people that have had decades of addiction. Suddenly, this time it worked.
That Rick Welch podcast is amazing.
It was.
That guy's life, it's difficult, and I would not wish to live that life.
Yes.
Man, what a story. And the turn is great, you know?
You know what my favorite part of that story was how as soon as his son got saved, the first person he thought of was his father.
Was his dad. Even though his dad, by his own admission, was a terrible
piece of crap.
Absentee
father. Oof. He admitted it. Or Janice Anderson, who was an alcoholic and used drugs. Yep,
that one's crazy too. Amazing story.
To almost commit suicide, and suddenly her brother show up, and then she goes into this rehab, and then she as well, now she's working in rehabilitation centers trying to help people. He is in a rehabilitation. Rick Welch is in a rehabilitation center. They want others to have what it is, the hope that they had.
I, as a person that's dabbled but never, knock on wood, had an actual problem with drugs, I don't think that anybody that hasn't had a real problem, I don't think you can appreciate. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think you can appreciate what it is. I don't think you can understand, and I don't think you could possibly have the patience that a thing like that requires of mm-hmm. you.
Right. And I think that the testimony of people strengthens us. It strengthens our faith even more. Because again, faith is the substance of things hoped for.
I love that. It's so good.
Rick Welch's substance of things hoped for was that he would be reunited with the son, would be free from drugs,
find meaningful work, not just work. Labor, but like a thing to do with his life that, you know, he could feel like he was helping.
And his faith is the substance of those things, you know, and it's the evidence of things not seen. No one saw God do that to him. They saw a son hug, and they saw people offer a home and counseling and places to be. That has to count and does. But the evidence of things unseen were the things that were in his heart that changed this man. It changed him. We can't deny it, you know? And some might want to argue it away. I think that would be a little harsh to argue that away with somebody.
I don't know why you would try to take something like that away from somebody. It seems.
I'm telling you, dude, I get some very harsh emails. And there are people out there that want to take that away from him. I know. It's not you.
I know. I don't get it.
Yeah, me either. So if you're the believer and people are asking you to offer proof, tell them that you have some kinds of proof, but it's not the kind of proof that a scientist would allow. It's not, and it's never going to. And you just have to be okay with that. And then you move on with your life, knowing that this faith that you have is what we call a gift. I'm going to read that scripture too.
Okay.
Yeah. It's something that's...
This is a religious podcast. Let's get some scripture.
Yeah, let's get some scripture up in here. Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Carolina Cases. Whether in your home, auto, suitcase, or hotel room, you can be assured that with Carolina Cases, you can protect what matters most. Carolina Cases are TSA approved, so you know your items are secured in a shock and impact-proof hard case. These lightweight, durable cases come with pre-cut protective high-quality foam to fit your pistols by make and model, compact size, or full size. They also come in a universal configuration for multiple options. Carolina Cases are more than a pistol case. They are available in fully customizable foam to protect what matters. You can go to their website at www.carolinacases.net to see their designer protective lid designs. Each is laser engraved to give you unmatched style at home or on the range. So protect what matters most. Visit www.carolinacases.net. That's www.carolinacases.net. And also, enter code Burrows at checkout to receive free shipping. That's right. Just enter the code Burrows at checkout and you'll receive free shipping.
All right. So in the letter that Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace you are saved. And he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So he's saying that the very faith that it is that we hold in our heart is a gift. It wasn't something that... The Bible teaches that faith is a gift given.
I think that makes sense. I think faith...
I would say that was true for Rick Welch.
Yeah, I think faith helps a lot of people get through difficult things, and life is going to throw difficult things at you. It's just some people more than others, man. Some people get more than their share by God, but everybody gets some.
That's right. Yep, absolutely. So you're not going to be able to sit down and... Your burden of the burden of proof that's laid on you, if you're going to try to do it with the scientific method, you're not going to.
Yeah. It's just that's not, those things don't intersect, I'm afraid.
No. But they also don't have to hate one another.
No, no.
And that's the part that always irritated me. I know historically, that the church was all about science. They were all about studying the natural world that God made for everyone and knowing how it worked.
The Catholic Church still is. Pretty, like, they have priests in sections of the church that are absolutely, like, super scientifically minded and do research and, like, astrology and, like, hard sciences and stuff. Mm-hmm. They're in that, man. They're not ignoring that stuff.
Right.
Maybe other churches, too. I just happen to know it's true about the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. And, like, at the Vatican. Like, on, you know, at a high level, not, like... Not like hobby priests.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like priests like, yeah, I do a little bit of, you know, geology. Mm-hmm. No, it's like, yeah, at a high level, they're paying attention to that
right.
stuff.
So here's one more dividing line here. And that is prayer. Prayer. So the belief of the Christian is that we have access to the Creator God, to the one who did all the things, and that access was given to us by Christ to be able to speak to him. If you're standing at a hospital bed and you are surrounded by doctors and a priest, the reality is that the doctors are going to be doing everything they possibly can in a physical way to assure that you're healthy or that you live. And the priest is calling on God to either A, intervene and help those doctors, or B, intervene and overcome anything that whatever it might be, and live, whatever it might be, right? Sure. Prayer is that strange thing, you know? And here's the funny part, and it is funny in a way. I know a lot of believers that struggle with this, with praying at all. And that's because, especially like, I know people that believe in the total sovereignty of God, so they say, why pray? Mm-hmm. Why? If he already knows, like, why? You know, people say, if he's omnipotent and omnipresent, what's the point? Well, all I've been able to say to people is Jesus told him to. And he was the Son of God according to the scripture. So he says, pray to your Father in heaven. Ask him, seek after him, search for him, and you will find him through prayer. And he is the one that gained the access to be able to do that. For all mankind, the ability to pray. In other words, that's the Christian faith. That's what it says. So prayer is that oddball. Ricky Gervais, I mentioned him earlier. Mm-hmm. He talked about how he does not mind, like if he said, hey, I've got somebody in my family that is sick. If someone says, I'm going to pray for him, right, he'll say, well, thank you. That's very nice of you. And then if that person says, okay, I've prayed for him, I want you to take away the chemotherapy now. He says, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Because,
I can hear him saying that.
I know.
No.
Yeah, and I laugh. Do that. Yeah. I laugh because the way he says it is, and the way that he puts it is, because if I take away the chemotherapy, he dies. If I take away the prayer, he has a chance to live. That's the way he puts it. Yeah. And the way he puts it is very funny. I mean, the guy's a comedian and he's a master at it, you know? But for the believer, prayer is the way that your soul and the things that are experiencing life can talk to the Creator. And the Bible tells you that he wants you to do this. He wants you to pray. Now, I've had actual experiences in my life where I have prayed for specific things and I have received those things. And I've told many people, I'm not trying to get you to come up on my side and jump on my bandwagon because I say that it worked. I'm telling you that I was humbled by it because it happened and it was out of my physical control. And to be able to see that happen, we call that to being rewarded openly for things that you ask for. It's already known in scientific circles. You've heard people say, send all the good vibes. You ever heard this?
Yeah.
You know that there's things, you can talk to plants and plants grow better?
There's new science on that.
Does it say it doesn't happen?
Very recently, no. No, quite the opposite.
Really?
Yeah, it's like plants scream when you cut them down. There's a way in which, there's new science on that.
And so when you're out there weed eating, the whole yard's mm-hmm. yelling at tops, you know.
Yep, in whatever way they can. Yeah, the science is not only not going back on that, it is—
doubling down.
It's doubling down, wow. Absolutely.
So whenever people who have a green thumb, a lot of times you'll see— for those who don't know what a green thumb is, it's someone that can grow plants very well.
You can look at my hands and see a complete and utter lack of that. I can keep animals alive. I'm good at that.
I get green socks when I weed eat. So, but talking to plants, they respond. Animals respond to our speech and our affection, things like that. The things in the world that we live in respond to us. It's a very natural thing, you know. And for the believer, those that engage in just that and leave God out of it, they see that as, this is bad. This is bad, bad, you know. But I guess my only point here is this, is that we've only scratched the surface in the sciences as far as trying to understand our world. We haven't even scratched the surface. We're learning right. So much all the time. And for the believer, all I say is let it encourage you, you know, to know. And then, what do you have a thought?
No, I heard my stomach grumbling through the microphone.
Oh,
because I didn't really, because I didn't eat, I ate like an early lunch and then didn't eat anything. My fault.
Oh, really?
Sorry, please go on. I was the
no,
I was,
but the good news is we're about to wrap up this episode, so you'll be able to go eat. Isn't that great?
No rush. I love these one-on-ones.
Yeah. We've talked about a little bit of everything, but I guess the thing that I really wanted to come across, and my next episode is going to be about why I think the church has missed the boat. And there's things that I believe that I really want to get off my chest to all my friends and everyone mm-hmm. that I, where I speak at in churches and everybody that I know and love. I want them to know something that's near and dear to my heart. But I wanted to get to the bottom of this. You know, we have to understand that having the burden of proof placed on you to prove the existence of God, the proof was for those of us who believe, we believe it's a gift that we have. It's a gift that God gave us to believe. And that means that there would be some that hadn't been given the gift. I don't know why. I don't answer for that. I have no clue. I'm not going to argue the point. I'm willing to defend my faith that I have because of the evidences that I see for me that are evidences to me. But I can't, if you're not that kind of person, then it doesn't matter. I'm just talking, I'm just blowing a lot of hot air, you know? But I think there are ways that we can really get this message across, and it's not going to be through debate and just doctrine. I think there's other ways to do it. And I will end this episode on that one. That was fun.
That was fun.
Yeah. Thanks for.
I was excited when you were like, everybody stay home.
Yeah.
No
less
offense.
Setup time too.
Love you all. Oh my God. Yeah. An 8-person podcast is I got to drag chairs in from the back porch and stuff. Cause yeah, there's not that much seating in the studio just on average.
Well, all of you guys that support us on Patreon, I just want to say thank you. We have 39 Patreon subscribers, which is a very, you know, in the world of Patreon, it's a pretty low number. But for us, that's a pretty high number. That's pretty cool. Yeah. There's 39 people that are out there that are a part of our Patreon.
Genuinely appreciate that.
Yes, and I have some great news. I have purchased some new equipment, and I will be uploading videos on a regular basis to Patreon.
Oh, really?
Yep. And then after they're on Patreon for probably a month, then they will start releasing onto YouTube. There will be some videos that we take here in the studio. It's not going to be. Greg just jumped up on.
He clawed my inner thigh. He's just being playful, but
yeah, cats that play hurt. But we are going to be doing more videos. My idea of trying to stay out of the video world is still very much present. Like I don't really want to have to do all that editing.
We don't have the format for that.
Not here
most
in this
people
studio.
That, yeah, most people that do that are doing a two. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like a much smaller podcast than we are.
So I will occasionally have videos from within here. I'll have a video camera with me, and I'll take some shots here and there and, you know, release them here and there. Maybe take tidbits or good parts of the conversation and release them. But we will have a YouTube channel this year, and we'll also on Patreon. That's where the videos are going to be uploaded to. So it's primarily for the Patreon subscribers. That will be available to you for free. The ones who are on Patreon that are giving, because not all of the subscribers, you know, are paying subscribers mm-hmm. Or patrons. I just wanted you guys to know how much I appreciate those that give. We have some that give that $20 mark a month, and that's in this day and time, I mean, that's better than Netflix is doing. I mean,
that's
awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. It just helps us create more content. We don't take it. None of us get paid to do this.
Yeah.
And he gets paid to record, but he doesn't get paid to be involved. You know, involve yourself.
And Rick does this out of pocket because he believes in the good of it, which is, that's pretty cool.
I've seen a lot of good come out of this. I really have. And I've met a lot of really great people, and I'm thankful for it. So all these guys that listen and send me these emails that are encouraging, I appreciate it. Keep them coming. The private messages, the people that have my number that text me and stuff, thank you for all the encouragement. It means a lot to me. So, but thanks to all of you Patreon patrons. It really does make a difference in what we do here. It's cool. All right, Andy. Well, that's it. You can go get some dinner now.
I wasn't trying to rush you.
No, it's fine. Oh, you know what I should do? I should end it on a joke.
Okay, you got one?
Yes, I've got a good one. So Moses, Jesus, and an old man are up in heaven, and they're playing golf. And Moses goes up, tees up first, and he takes out his three wood, and he drives the golf ball, and it falls into a water hazard. So he walks up, and he holds his three wood out over the pond, and the pond splits open right down the middle, right showing where the ball is, and it's dry ground, and he walks in, and he chip shots it up onto the green.
That would be handy.
And then he gets his putter, and he goes over, and he puts it in. Three shots, he's in. Jesus steps up. He gets out his three iron, and he hits, and it goes up high, but then kind of long, but then it falls into the water hazard. So he walks over to the edge of the pond. He walks on the pond. He gets about three quarters of the way over, holds his hand over, and the ball comes up. He chip shots
it off the pond,
and it goes directly into the hole. Two shots.
Please, somebody do that on video for me. I love this. All right. Anyway, sorry.
So the old man, he comes up, and he looks at the hole, and he looks at his bag, and he looks at his hole, and he gets out his putter, and he goes down, and he just lightly taps the ball, and suddenly it rolls and rolls and rolls and just slowly goes into the water. And then a turtle surfaces up, and there's the balls on the back of his shell, and he swims all the way across, and he climbs out, and the ball rolls off. And a bird sweeps down and picks up the ball and jumps up and flies over and drops it on the green. And it rolls and it rolls, and it gets within about 3 feet. And out of the pond, this little tiny toad comes, and it starts hopping and hopping and hopping, and it starts hopping and hits the ball. And it gets right up to the edge of the hole. And it doesn't look like it's going to go in. And a little tiny inchworm comes up out of the ground, bows up, and boop, pops it in. And Moses and Jesus turn back, and Jesus says, "Good shot, Dad." Hole in one. So the old man was God. But, you know, it's funny. I mean, anytime you see like a God in a show, it's always an old man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cute. That's very cute.
That's funny. Anyway. Well, guys, thanks for listening, and we will talk to you guys again next time on the Burrows of Berea. Peace out.
Peace out.
Hey, guys, this is Rick from the Burrows of Berea. A lot of people have been asking us, hey, what is this Patreon thing? Our old Patreon ad didn't work very well. So here you go, guys. Go to www.patreon, that is patreon.com. Let me do that again. patreon.com/ the Burrows of Berea. If you go to the Patreon page, you will find that we have different levels that you can give at. We have a $3 level, a $5 level, we've got a $10 level, and a $20 level. I thought about putting a $1,000 level there, but you never know how that's going to work out, right, Andy? That's right. So go to www.patreon.com/ the Burrows of Berea and give us all of your money.
Even a little bit will be fine.
Yeah. And that 5,000 wouldn't hurt my
either. No, it would hurt nobody.
Thanks, guys.